Won't you come to me? And people gather around. They offer all what they can bring. Now, this is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. And we're going to do this every once in a while. It's bluegrass night. Now, I've been threatening to do a bluegrass show for a while. And if I'm, you know, for the first one, you know, we got to, you know, this is going to be kind of bluegrass 101 and, you know, a lot of my opinion involved. And I'm kind of like set in my ways when it comes to bluegrass. There's a lot of great stuff out there that falls under the heading of bluegrass, but I tend to listen to bluegrass and play bluegrass according to Monroe in a lot of ways, and because it all begins and ends with Bill Monroe. Bill Monroe started calling his band the Bluegrass Boys probably in the late 1930s. His first banjo player in his band was actually Dave Aikman, you know, also known as String Bean, who was a drop thumb banjo player, you know, a claw hammer banjo player. But then he hired Earl Scruggs in 1945, and who had invented a whole new way of playing banjo. And from that point on, the bluegrass music that we know is born when Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs joined Bill's band. This is my favorite Bill Monroe song. We're going to play several over the course of the show, along with some other artists. But this is we're playing this one because it's my favorite Bill Monroe song. And there's sort of three modes for Bill Monroe music. There's Bill singing lead as a tenor. There's Bill singing tenor with a lead singer. And then there's instrumental stuff. And this is Bill singing lead. This is Molly Chinbrook from 1957. Thank you. Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, Earl's Breakdown. After Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs left Bill's band, then all of a sudden, instead of having Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, all of a sudden we had something called bluegrass music. We had a whole field that began to proliferate. Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs leave. I'm not entirely sure that Bill Monroe completely recovered from it. You know, it took him a long time to sort of get over losing, especially Earl Scruggs. And he always had a singer in the band. He always had a singer other than the tenor. And Lester Flatt was one of the best that he ever had. And Lester Flatt sort of, people call it the flat picking style, and most people do it flat pick. But Lester actually did it with a thumb pick, and he kind of invented the G run that you hear in all the bluegrass music, and the guitar players will know what I'm talking about. It's the only lick guitar players get to play if you're playing bluegrass according to Monroe. Other than that, you're just kind of flat slamming all the way. Everybody, we're about to see a generation of bluegrass musicians for the first time that there actually are important bands that no one involved in them ever played with Bill Monroe. It took a long time for that to happen. Flatt and Scruggs went out on their own. After a while, it got to be where you went and you did your year or 2 years of Monroe's band, and then you went out and started your own bluegrass band. My favorite singers of all the people that had the lead singing gig in Bill Monroe's band, and I think this is the most rock and roll that bluegrass ever gets. And the guy that I was trying most to sound like when I made The Mountain is Jimmy Martin. This is kind of his signature tune, a live version of Sunny Side of the Mountain.
Here's one we'd like to do for you. If you ever down around Nashville, Tennessee, stop in the Hall of Fame and you'll hear us sing just a little bit of this one here if you stay there long enough. If you start it out, Ronnie will sing it for him, all right?
Sunny Mountain Boys. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio.
It's been so long since I've seen you. Your love still lingers on. Don't forget me, little darling. Oh, our love of fire seems gone.
Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. And, you know, after Bill Monroe sort of single-handedly invented this form of music, there were people that came along that didn't apprentice in his band. Bill was sort of infamous for trading goods like horses and God knows what at bluegrass festivals. And one of his big trading partners was the late Carter Stanley. The Stanley brothers from Virginia. Today, Ralph's still alive, still singing, still making records. These are the Stanley brothers, and this is Drunkard's Hill.
last night. I heard and saw an awful sight. The lightning flashed, the thunder rolled. All around this drunkard's feet. I started home to change my life. I found her kneeling by her bed. She said her darling baby was there. New priests like Paul, who once did say, our sins have all been washed away. That whiskey stay as far from me as a mountain is from the deep blue sea. It was on one dark and starless night. I heard and saw an awful sight. The lightning flashed, the thunder roared. All around this drunkard's
Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys featuring Peter Rowan. This is Steve Rowe, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio.
Lord, send the anchor for my darling.
Steve Rowe, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. We're playing bluegrass this week. The Osborne Brothers, you know, this is another band. Sonny Osborne, you know, was the banjo player in the Bluegrass Boys in the early 1950s while his brother Bobby was in the Army. And when Bobby got out, they started their own band. And they were kind of the first people. A lot of people tried to do it later on, and probably much to Monroe's chagrin, they were some of the first people to experiment with instruments outside of, you know, non-acoustic instruments, for one thing. They made records with drums from time to time. They made records with pedal steel guitar, electric guitar sometimes, and electric bass sometimes. You know, nothing was really sacred to them, but they were brothers, and they sang together, and they played together. This song, I'm embarrassed to say, I don't know. I can't remember the lady's name who wrote this song. I found out one time after digging and digging. I first heard this song by the McPeak Brothers here from Virginia. On a bluegrass radio show in Nashville. This Osborne Brothers version is probably one of the best, but this is a really, really great song called The Last Time, and these are the Osborne Brothers.
Mama made my uniform, sewed a stripe on the shoulder. Papa wanted my company flag, bring it back when it's over. Jenny came to say goodbye. She said she would wait for me. On my stallion I sat high, leaving Tennessee. Wore so gallantly. Papa, I'm
Osborne Brothers on Air America Radio the last time. When I decided to make a bluegrass record, I was lucky enough to get to make it with the best bluegrass band working in the world today. And I really believe that about the Del McCurry Band. My first connection to this band was before I knew these guys. I was a fan, but I didn't personally know them. They recorded a song of mine, I guess, in 1992 or 93. And it's a song called If You Need a Fool, and it was on a record that's become a classic Del McCurry record and sort of the signature Del McCurry song, especially, well, Del McCurry Band song, which is a Del McCurry Band. Is Del and his son Ronnie and his son Rob, and there's been a few personnel changes around that over the years. But this is the Del McCurry Band, High on a Mountain. Del McCurry Band on Air America Radio, High on a Mountain. There are a lot of connections between bluegrass music and rock and roll, and you know, the earliest one being that the B-side of Elvis Presley's first record was Blue Moon in Kentucky. It was a Bill Monroe song. And you know, Carl Perkins always said that you know, all they were doing was trying to sound like Bill Monroe. I'm not sure I totally believe that, but that's what the man said. This is a record from about 1964, probably, and it's the Kentucky Colonels, which is a really, really great band. And Roland White, he's in the National Bluegrass Band nowadays, and a great man, a player, great singer. And his brother, the late, great Clarence White. Now, Clarence White went on to become, for a very short period of time, and at the same time as Graham Parsons, a member of the Byrds, and a lot of you know, what became country rock, a lot of, you know, rock musicians becoming interested in country music and, you know, bluegrass and country musicians branching out and reaching larger audiences, I think, you know, probably began with these guys. This is a really, really old song. This is straight up bluegrass, according to Monroe, by the Kentucky Colonels. It's Shade Grove.
It's called Shade Grove.
Kentucky Colonels on Air America Radio. That's probably recorded at the Ash Grove out in L.A. sometime in the early 60s. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio.
Dead old man, be a shame, oh my darling. Dead old man, be a shame, oh my darling.
Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. We're playing bluegrass tonight, and I can't help but play a song from this. Is one of my favorite records, and Monroe will probably come back and haunt me for this. But there was a band called the Charles River Valley Boys, and the reason that they were called the Charles River Valley Boys is because they were from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it was kind of the peak of the folk thing. And they actually started this band originally to play old-time music, and then their banjo players started figuring out how to play Scruggs style, and they started sneaking a little bluegrass into their repertoire. And they figured out at some point, you know, listening to all the kinds of music that they were listening to, that there were Beatles songs that kind of might work out on these bluegrass instruments, and they made an entire record of Beatles songs with the bluegrass band. And this is my favorite track, I think, on the record. There's a lot of good ones on the record. Is available now. It was out of print for several years. It's called Beetle Country, and it's the Charles River Valley Band. This is I Feel Fine. Feel fine. Well, it's bluegrass that we're talking about here, and I was really, really lucky. I mean, I lived in Nashville for 30 years, and you know, I met Bill Monroe several times, and just, you know, sort of casually at various events. But then when I got out of jail and started making records again, the first record I made was a record called Train A Comin', which wasn't a bluegrass record, but it was an acoustic record, you know, which was something I'd wanted to do for a long time. And Peter Rowan was really kind of the heart of the band. It was me, Norman Blake, Peter Rowan, and Roy Husky Jr. And I finally got to know Monroe at that point in my life, and I remember the day because it was, we had a day we couldn't record, something was broken, and this, Norman Blake had gotten stuck coming over in his motorhome coming over from Lookout Mountain, and we were, couldn't record, so Pete says, you want to go beat Mel Monroe? And I said, sure. So we jumped in the car and we started driving out I-65 to where Bill lived out in Madison and ran into a tractor trailer blocking all four lanes, and it took us an hour and a half to get to Bill's house, and we got there and we knocked on the door. And Bill opens the door, and he says, you're late. And Pete goes in this long thing about, like he'd been doing as long as he's known Monroe, about, well, there was a tractor trailer turned over in the middle of I-65, and Bill said, there's better ways you'd get here than that. It was, you know, he had a way of intimidating people, but I knew a lot of people that were terrified of him, but I think a lot of the reason for that was that they just didn't get it, because Bill Monroe was a hipster. And his sense of humor, I think, went right over some people in Nashville's head from the beginning of his career. I was at Bill Monroe's funeral in the Ryman Auditorium, and at the end of the show, everybody had been playing, you know, gospel songs, and God bless Marty Stewart. At the end of the show, he said, we ought to play Rawhide. And some people, including that I won't name, Ricky Skaggs, said that probably would be inappropriate, but Marty said, no, we ought to play Rawhide, and they played it, and at the end of it, he said, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Monroe. Bill was right there in front of the stage, and this begins and it ends being a bluegrass show with Bill Monroe.